بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم، ثم بعد. الحمد لله. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All kinds of praises belong solely and only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in reality of fact, if we were to start writing from now till the day of Qiyamah and try to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way we're supposed to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will not be able to fulfill the right of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that great being. There was a time where there was nothing around us. All that we see, it wasn't in existence, but Allah Ta'ala was there. And all that we see around us now, eventually a time will come where each and every single thing will be destroyed and Allah Ta'ala will remain. That Allah Ta'ala is that great being that despite running each and every system of this world, controlling all the affairs of this world, Allah Ta'ala does not get tired, nor does sleep or slumber overcome Allah Ta'ala. Yet, for me and you to take rest, Allah Ta'ala brings a night so me and you can get a rest. Allah Ta'ala is that being that the winds do not blow except with His command, the rain does not fall except with His command, that this rain that falls, sometimes when the farmer sees it, it's a means of happiness for him. Why? Because his crops will go. But on the other hand, sometimes when the rain comes, this very farmer is crying. Why? Because now his entire harvest is destroyed. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has kept harm and benefit only in His hand. So that Allah Ta'ala was running each and every single system of this world. He is the one who is providing for each and every single creature in this world. From that ant to that elephant to that whale, each and every single thing is only given its rosy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet that Allah Ta'ala is so great that He doesn't need anything to eat or drink Himself. That Allah Ta'ala, whatever He does, He does it to absolute perfection and completion. That if we just look upstairs, look around us, if we see the sky, how Allah Ta'ala has created a sky without any pillars, without any holes, without any cracks. And it hasn't been lasting 100 years, but the thousands of years the sky has been there. On the other hand, we make one small room, we need to put pillars there, we need to put walls there. After a few months, there'll be a leak, there's a crack, we have to fix it. Yet Allah Ta'ala, in His absolute mercy, has created such a sky which is there for thousands of years. And in the sky, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put clouds which contain thousands of tons of water, thousands of liters of water, and it's suspended in the sky. This is all the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, whatever He does it to absolute completion and perfection. That for example, now I'm speaking, if someone had to make a loud noise in the corner of the room, immediately everyone's attention would turn to that center of the room. Why? Because insan doesn't have the capability to do more than one thing at once. On the other hand, if you just have to consider how many billions of people are in the world, how many thousands of different languages are in the world, if each and every single person must start talking now, Allah Ta'ala is able to hear every single person and understand every single person. That Allah Ta'ala, He is all knowing, He knows each and every single thing that occurs, as it takes place, as it happens. If I tell a person now, go outside the masjid, count how many trees there are. Now leave the trees, just think how many leaves there are. Not in Overport, not in Durban, South Africa, but the entire world. Allah Ta'ala's knowledge is such, He has exact knowledge of how many leaves there are on the trees at this moment, how many are going to come, how many will bear fruit, how many are green, how many are yellow, how many are going to fall, how long does it take for it to fall, for it to reach the ground. Each and every single thing is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that great Allah Ta'ala, who runs affairs of each and every single thing in this world, that great Allah Ta'ala has granted each and every one of us the great kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That Allah Ta'ala in His absolute mercy, the controller of each and every single thing, we just have to imagine on the day that we were born, how many thousands of other children were also born on that day. And how many were such, they were born in the house of a Christian, in the house of a Jew, in the house of a Hindu. Yet Allah Ta'ala has honored me and you. And we amongst those who are born in the houses of the reciters of kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. This is only the mercy and bounty of Allah Ta'ala upon us. Allah Ta'ala's that is such, there's no one to question Him. He does as He pleases. If Allah Ta'ala wanted, we could have been part of the army of Fir'aun that was drowned and was destroyed. We could have been some despicable little bug that the people want to crush. Yet Allah Ta'ala has honored me and you, made us the best of makhlukat, He made us insan, and He blessed us with this kalima. This kalima is such, Anbiya made so much effort on their own family members. Did Nuh alayhi salam, his own son, rejected the message, told him, "No, I'll climb up the mountain, I'll protect myself." Yet when the punishment of Allah came, his son was amongst those who were destroyed. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, his own father, he didn't have the ability to give his own father hidayat. He gave him dawat. But despite all that, Allah Ta'ala had not destined for him to be amongst those who were given hidayat, and he was those who were destroyed as well. Our own beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how much effort he made on his uncles, till the last breath he kept on giving dawah to his uncle Abu Talib. But despite that fact, Allah Ta'ala had not written for him to be given hidayat, and it wasn't meant for him, and it was amongst those who will be destroyed. Yet Allah Ta'ala has honored each and every single one of us. He has granted us this kalima. He has granted it to us for free as well. We are not such that we deserve this kalima. It's only Allah's grace, mercy and bounty upon us that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed us with this kalima. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So we have to keep on making shukr for this kalima. That the value of this kalima we will realize on the day of Qiyamah. That this life that we're in is a temporary abode. Eventually a time will come when we'll have to leave this world. That every day our grave is calling out, I'm a place of loneliness, I'm a place of darkness, I'm a place of wilderness, I'm a place of worms and insects. Each and every single one of us has to go to that abode. That abode is either a garden from the gardens of Jannah or a pit from the pits of Jahannam. And it does not end there. That is only the beginning stage. Eventually a person will be raised on the plains of Qiyamah, such a place where the sun will be above one's head. A person will be drowning in his own sweat. That the kuffar, those people who don't have kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, their grief will be such that we won't be able to understand. The chaos will be such, it will be as though the people are insects crawling over each other. That is how much grief they will be in. The father will not recognize the son. The mother will not look at her own child. The brothers will run away from each other. On that day when everyone will be going through grief and difficulty and pain. That the kuffar will eventually be flung into the fire of Jahannam. And it is such a place, there's nothing to eat, nothing to drink. Punishment after punishment. That in this world, if you take your finger and you put it in the fire, eventually it will burn up. You lose sense of feeling. Even if you put it back in the fire, it can't burn again. It will burn, but you won't feel any pain. Why? Because the nerves are dead. Yet, in the fire of Jahannam, a person will be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. Every time his skin will burn. It will keep on growing, it will come back, and like this will be tormented forever and ever to come. That nothing to eat, nothing to drink. A person in this world, if there's nothing to eat and nothing to drink, how he gets irritated, you can't speak to him, you have to give him a break. Yet, after thousands of years of asking, the people of Jahannam will be eventually given thorny trees to eat, such food which will neither satiate them. And after thousands of years of asking, they'll be given such water, boiling water full of pus, that when they take a sip of it, before it reaches their stomachs, the insides will burn up. But on the other hand, for those who have kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, then Allah Ta'ala has kept lofty gardens for them. They'll be sitting in high gardens, on couches, pillows behind them, their friends in front of them. They'll be having the drink of their choice in front of them, and they'll be enjoying, it's an enjoyment for eternity. Not for 100 years, 1,000 years, but for an enjoyment that will never come to an end. In Jannat we'll have for us rivers of milk, honey and wine. The milk of this world, you leave it overnight, it'll go off. Honey of this world, you're getting some glucose-filled syrup. The wine of this world, if a person drinks it, then you want to stay away from him. Why? He has a bad smell, you don't know his reaction, he can cause you harm. Yet the milk of Jannat will never go off. The honey of Jannat is such that it's absolutely pure. And the wine of Jannat is such, it will be a means of pleasure for the one who drinks it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept all of these bounties for me and you, but has given us a short life of 60, 70 years to attain it. That we have to make that effort that when we pass away, that this kalima is in our heart, this kalima is on our tongue. That in the grave when we'll be asked, despite knowing the question already, but only that which is in our heart will eventually come out. That when we ask who is our Rabb, if our yaqeen was 100% correct that Allah was my Rabb, and then at that moment the answer will come out and a person will be successful. See, there's four channels connected to our heart. Whatever a person sees, whatever a person hears, whatever he says and whatever he thinks, all of that directly affects what's his yaqeen in his heart. that a person will say Allah 1,000 times, but eventually his heart will say maybe, his heart will be shaky and say, yeah, maybe Allah is a doer. But a person will come with one statement, but, that if I was here, but if the right doctor was here, this person wouldn't have gone through this difficulty. But if I had chosen this, it would have come right. So we have to correct our yaqeen, we have to filter out what we say, what we see. That outwardly it seems that my rose is coming from my shop. Why? Because all of us think that if I have one more shop, I open another branch, then I'll get more rosy. My profit will double and increase double. But in reality of fact, Allah Ta'ala is not in need of that shop to give me my rosy. Allah Ta'ala can give me that same rosy from one shop as well. That a person will hear that the government has passed a ruling. But in reality of fact, who is the government? Allah Ta'ala is a doer. Whatever happens, happens solely and only by the command of Allah Ta'ala. We are just the pawns of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala uses us how He wants. So we have to keep on rectifying this yaqeen in our hearts. Whatever we see, whatever we hear, whatever we say, correct it and make it according to this iman that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing. That Allah ta'ala is the one who is giving us light. Allah ta'ala is not in need of the sun to give light. The sun takes the permission of Allah to give us light. And everything happens solely only by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the yaqeen we have to keep on fixing. This is the yaqeen we have to keep on working upon. And upon realizing that every condition is only and solely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we need to realize the solution to every problem of ours is by turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in 2 rakat salah. That each and every one of us, we read our Fajr salah now. Salah is such an act of ibadat that at each and every stage we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person says, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He again goes into ruku, makes takbir. In ruku he says, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, that my Allah ta'ala is pure from all faults, pure from all defects. He's the most, he's the greatest. There's no one greater than him. A person will then go into sajda and say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, that my Allah ta'ala is the most elevated. And even in tashahud a person will say, At-tahiyyatu lillah. So a whole salah we're saying that Allah ta'ala is a doer. There's only Allah ta'ala. There's no one greater than Allah ta'ala. But the reality of fact, when we raise our hands, at that moment we push away Allah ta'ala and we bring everything besides Allah ta'ala in our heart. That the only worry and concern we have at that moment is dunya. So we have to fix this salah of ours. Sahaba were such, when they used to read 2 rakat salah, they were oblivious to all things around them besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's as though they could see Allah ta'ala. It's as they knew that Allah ta'ala was watching them. You could make as much noise as you want around them. They were firm and straight and still as a pillar. Birds would settle on their backs. That was the salah that Sahaba read. And that is a salah we have to bring in our lives. That when this salah will come in our lives, then whatever difficulties we're going through, then Allah ta'ala will solve all our problems. That the solution is in our hands. We just have to correct our salah. We have to correct our iman. We have to speak about the greatness of Allah ta'ala. We have to give doubt to this salah. We want this salah to come in our lives. We want the salah of Sahaba to come in our lives. For this we have to speak about this salah. Then eventually Allah ta'ala will grant us this salah. Alhamdulillah, it's a month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, we're in a very mubarak environment. But let us think about how many of our Muslim brothers are such, they're deprived of this environment. That alhamdulillah, the month, we're 10 days of rahmat, Allah's mercy, 10 days of forgiveness, 10 days of being saved from the fire of Jahannam. We in this environment where we're getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, how many are such in nearby areas, in areas besides us, that they are unaware of the fact that it is even Ramadan. So who's going to have this worry and concern about them? That this iman that we want for ourselves, this salah that we want for ourselves, this is something that you have to make effort on each and every single person. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, so much qurbani they made for deen, so much qurbani they made for me and you. Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu an, he was that youngster. Before accepting Islam, he used to wear clothing worth 1200 dirhams. When he used to walk down the streets, you would know he passed here. Why? Because the fragrance of his perfume was so strong. Yet when he accepted Islam, he didn't have enough clothing to cover his body. And in the battle of Uhud, when the flag of Islam was there, he grabbed it with his hand. Enemy comes, cuts off the one hand. He grabs it with the other hand. He doesn't let the flag of Islam fall. They cut off his other hand as well. Eventually he grabs at the remaining two portions of his arm. Even then he doesn't let the flag of Islam fall, and the enemy strike him with an arrow and he falls to the ground. Now that very youngster who used to wear clothing worth 200 dirhams, now when it's time to bury him, you cover his head, his feet is exposed. You cover his feet, his head is exposed. Eventually the command is given by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that cover his head with the cloth and cover his feet with the leaves. On this qurbani the sahaba gave, on the qurbani that they gave for me and you, for this deen to come alive in this world, that is why today we're sitting in this environment. We have the masjid, we have all these comforts and luxuries. This is only upon the qurbani of the sahaba. That sahaba tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle of Khandaq, O Nabi of Allah, we are hungry, there's nothing to eat. We have tied a stone to our bellies. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raises his own garment up, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has two stones tied to his belly. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qurbani for us, for 2 months, ulama explained, for 3 moons, no fire was lit in the house. Why? Because there was no food from the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were making do with dates and water. All this qurbani was done for me and you. That sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, at every given moment when they were given the command to go out in the path of Allah, they were ready to go. Why? Because they had akhirat in front of them. Their yaqeen was correct. That they knew that this world is a temporary abode, and the eternal life of akhirat is our place of eternity. That they knew that in this world, this wealth will eventually come to an end. It's only our amal. That a person will go to the grave. At that moment when he goes to the grave, then his family comes with him, his wealth comes with him, his amal comes with him. But it is only his amal that will stay with him. It is only his amal which will be a means of light for him. It is only his amal which will help him on the day of Qiyamah. Because of the yaqeen was right. That is why they were able to go through all the sacrifice for me and you. That is why when the tashkil was made in one battle, Ghazwatul Riqah, the battle of patches, the sahaba didn't even have shoes to cover their feet. Yet despite this, the taqaza of deen was put forward. They went out in the scorching heat. Their feet were such that it started to rupture, started to crack, started to bleed. They had to tear their cloth and cover their feet with it. So much qurbani sahaba made for me and you. Upon this qurbani now we have this deen. Let us just now think and ponder how every single day, maybe 200 to 300,000 people are dying without this kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Whose responsibility is it? Nabi Salaam, what is his condition? In front of him, the janazah of a Yahudi is passing by. Nabi Salaam starts crying. Sahaba say, O Nabi of Allah, this is a Jew, a kafir. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, one more of my ummah is going to the fire of Jahannam. So with this pain and worry and concern, that firstly our deen can come alive in my life, how deen can come alive in the ummah of, in each and every ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For this our elders are telling us to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this iman that we're talking about, when we speak about the greatness of Allah, when we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this iman will come in our lives. This salah that we're talking about, when we go into seclusion and we turn towards Allah, we beg of Allah Ta'ala and we make effort, then inshallah Allah Ta'ala will grant us such a salah. And for this deen to come in our lives in a totality, for this we need to make some effort, that when we go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bounties and virtues are many, that one morning and one evening spent in the path of Allah Ta'ala is better than the whole world and what it contains. That leave alone the fire of Jahannam, not even the smoke of Jahannam would touch those parts of the body upon which the dust is settled. Such great bounties have been put in front of us. Sahaba, upon all of this, they gave every single thing. Now it's our responsibility, how we can also go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we can fulfill this responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. For this, inshallah, let us all make intention, inshallah, to strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are ready for this, inshallah. سبحان الله بحمد سبحانك الله بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك واتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين